Well, throughout the campaign, as in all European political campaigns these days, both the European Union and the euro crisis have been very much at the centre of the debate. On the far right, Marine Le Pen promised to slash immigration. On the far left, Jean-Luc Mélenchon attacked the EU for following an ultra-liberal economic policy. Nicolas Sarkozy has been talking of building a more protective Europe. François Hollande has promised to go for more growth and less austerity. Charlotte Ashton reports now from Lille.
Few people in Lille these days are unequivocally positive about what the EU is doing for France.
Ce sera finalement Euratechnologie, l'outil de développement des acteurs, des projets et des innovations.
But as the slick promotional film for the EU-funded Euratechnology Business Park clearly demonstrates, Brussels has pumped money into this part of the world.
If you have a vision for economy, if you have a vision for enhancing the competitivity of Europe, Europe will be always beside you and will always help you.
Raoul Tichéhi is CEO of Eurotechnology. It's a massive business centre in a poor part of Lille called Lomme. Once it was a textiles factory, but that shut in the late 80s and sat empty until the EU paid for an impressive conversion 3 years ago. It's now home to major software and internet companies like Microsoft, but also to 50 small online startups and so-called incubator centres, where budding entrepreneurs get support from mentors and good networking opportunities in the Swish canteen.
We opened this facility in 2009. 3 years after, we have 1,600 people working in this place. And during the three last years, we have created more than 500 jobs.
The view from your window here might remind World Tonight listeners of a very popular British television programme called Coronation Street. Mm-hmm. Rows and rows of small terraced houses, home to the people that would have worked here when it was a factory. Mm-hmm. Are they appreciating the benefits of this place now?
That's the complexity of the project, because what we try to do is to work very closely with all the quarters around the facility to tell them, okay, there is opportunities in the coming 3 or 4 years for the young people. So the young people have to come and prepare themselves to work in that kind of field. That means that they have to go to school, they have to go to universities. And we have what we call here an Academy of Excellence in the digital field, which aims to take the people who are very far from these kind of jobs and to teach how they are going to work in that field.
But down here on the streets of Lomme, and 3 or 4 years feels a very long way away. Unemployment is high, and there have been angry protests against public spending cuts. This is traditionally a socialist stronghold, but in the first round of the presidential vote a couple of weeks ago, Marine Le Pen, from the far-right Front National Party, won a massive 26% of votes.
She says, "I'm talking for the invisible." And I would say we are now here with the invisible. People were not always so proud of their vote, but still silently vote Front National.
Okay, well, let's go and meet some of them.
Adi Sabarin is from the Libération newspaper and is my guide for today around Lomme.
Bonjour, madame.
83-year-old Janine is first to answer the door to us. She's always voted left, but feels unsure this time around.
She says she's afraid for her children and her grandchildren, and she might vote for Hollande because it's her old conviction, but she's really disappointed and a little bit lost.
She says she's not convinced by Hollande's promise of more growth in Europe. There's only one thing she sees growing. The price of potatoes, the cost of living, all going up. 66-year-old Maurice used to be a factory foreman. His sons voted for Marine Le Pen, he tells us. He believes in Europe, he says, but feels it's lost its way.
C'est un peu comme les religions.
He makes a parallel with religion. He says all the religions are good in their essence, but it's what you do with them that can be wrong. It's the same with Europe.
Et c'est ce qu'on en fait après.
People in Lomme do seem to agree that Europe has potential, but potential won't pay the bills, and it's easily forgotten when a party like the Front National links rising unemployment to rising immigration allowed by the EU.
We need to give back dignity to the people, to wake up in the morning and to say yes, I'm going to work. It's a real good thing.
Nathalie Axe is a Front National councillor in Lille. She says she'll boycott Sunday's vote, but admits that other Front National voters in Lille may turn out for Hollande.
The problem is that a lot of people will want to do a barrage to Sarkozy, and maybe they will vote for Hollande.
And this is a very socialist area, isn't it? Historically,
yes.
Lille is socialist.
Yes, it's a socialist because we were miners, we were manufacturers. My grandparents, for example, were socialists, communist before and then socialist. But that was a time that there were more job for everyone and the immigration was not the same as now.
Far right, the EU is a source of one evil, immigration. For the left, for the unionists and socialists here at Lille's May Day rally, it's the source of another evil, austerity.
We want growth, we want social security, so we believe in the project of Europe, but we think it's not the good path that Europe is taking, so we want to change that.
I'm in a very good school, and I wouldn't have the money to do it myself, and I've got a state scholarship. I get €400 a month, and then you get more money for your apartment, and it's just so important for me that, you know, if you touch my welfare state, I will actually kill you, because it's very, very important in France. It's you don't touch equality.
I think Sarkozy failed challenging Europe, challenging Angela Merkel to put his agenda and the French agenda, which is the protection of the poor, protection of the workers, fight for higher wages and for the growth. So I think François Hollande is right to saying he will change that.
I'm leaving Lille now on the lunchtime train to Brussels, only half an hour away on Eurostar. If Mr. Hollande is victorious on Sunday, he's promised to talk tough with the rest of Europe, pitching his growth agenda against Angela Merkel's fiscal pact of austerity. I want to find out what Brussels insiders make of the potential conflict, and there's no better person to ask than Guntram Wolf. He's deputy director of the Bruegel think tank, and he was an economist at the European Commission, and before that, at the German Bundesbank.
France basically didn't run a balanced budget since the mid-70s. It has one of the largest and the highest tax rates in Europe, and it really has a big competitiveness problem in the sense that it lacks a viable medium to small business environment. The whole economic model of France is very much centered around the large state and some big large corporations. This is not a viable model for living in a monetary union together with a country as competitive as Germany, but also on a global scale, competitiveness pressures really increase a lot. So there's a lot of need to reform the business model of France, so to speak.
That's not what Mr. Hollande's talking about, though, is it?
Mr. Hollande really talks a lot about this fiscal austerity debate, but certainly thinking that the very deep structural problems, for example, in Spain, can be resolved by a stimulus, to me sounds a bit too easy. I mean, we should talk really more smartly about how do we get export industries grow. We can have a debate about tax reductions for hiring young unemployed and the like. But a very simple deficit spending in a country that has this huge adjustment need sounds to me more like a palliative.
Let's look briefly at two of the specific proposals Mr. Hollande has put forward. One is for a greater mandate for the ECB, for the European Central Bank, to be able to lend perhaps directly to governments and not just banks. Will the Germans move on that, do you think?
No. I think this is an absolutely no-go area in Germany. I think he knows it's a red line.
What about the creation of European project bonds that would fund infrastructure projects, investment, rather than just debt?
That's certainly a compromise in which we can go, where projects that are sensible to all of us. And once we agree on such a purpose, I think there will probably be scope for compromise to get some common guarantee for financing this and issuing common bonds.
Regardless of what the eventual growth pact, memorandum, agreement, package, whatever it ends up being called, regardless of what that looks like, regardless indeed of who wins the French election on Sunday, has this campaign changed the conversation in Europe, do you think? Has it pushed Europe towards talking about growth and not just austerity.